Welcome to Gogcast, a long-form discussion podcast about the music of English electronic duo Autechre, album by album, EP by EP. I'm Gabe.
I'm Dan.
And we're finally back with our long-awaited episode, counting down Autechre's 10 greatest remixes ever. Dan and I both have our own lists, and there's honestly not that much crossover between them, rather. Indeed, I should mention we shared our list with each other beforehand, but our rankings will be a total surprise. But the plan is to devote our next episode to even more AE remixes when we discuss listener favorites that didn't make our own lists. We've heard from a bunch of you already, but if you've got some favorite remixes to recommend, send them our way, gogcastpod@gmail.com. Also, I've got to apologize for our long delay in getting this episode out. I mentioned that I've started a new job that is totally kicking my ass at the moment, but on top of that, there were a lot of goddamn remixes to listen to over the past couple of weeks. Having said that, though, we've listened to almost all of them a lot, so I think we'll be able to get that, you know, listener favorites episode done a lot quicker. No promises, but I really appreciate you guys' patience. Lastly, let me just note that after we finish with the remixes, we'll be moving on to Autechre's collaborations with the Hafler Trio. So start sending us your thoughts on that if you've got them, gogcastpod@gmail.com. Okay, Dan, before we get to our lists, I think it'd be smart to discuss some big picture stuff, which we can then refer back to while we're working through our picks and maybe even tackle directly again at the end. Now, first off, we've had listeners writing in to recommend various AE remixes since the very start of this podcast, and we tried to hold off until we could sort of do them all at once like this. But we did dip into the remix work here and there. We talked about Split Remix 12, which sees Autechre remixing Noi and another probably made up group. And we talked about the very recent remix of Sophie's Bip. On top of that, we discussed all of Gescom's remix work, including the cases where Autechre is credited with remixing Gescom. And we've really been planning this episode for a long time, so maybe you've checked out a few other remixes here and there. I know I have. So my first question is, how much time had you spent exploring the remixes before this episode? And what were you expecting to find once we dove in? Like some solid gold, just fun throwaways, what?
You know, honestly, I haven't spent much time with the remixes outside of, you know, basically the ones we did for the podcast. I'm not a big remix guy. You know, when a album, you know, an artist I like, you know, releases a remix album or anything, I got to be real into them to even bother checking that out. And, you know, Autechre's... some of them, you know, are on Spotify. And of course, like when the Sophie one came out, everybody was talking about it, so check things like that out. But, you know, most of them you got to kind of hunt down. And to be honest, yeah. I just never care enough about remixes to bother doing that. To your next question, I guess I expected to find, you know, mostly just fun throwaways. But I mean, with Autechre, and then honestly, once I realized it was like 8 hours worth of stuff we were getting into, you know, I did expect to find, you know, a nugget of gold here and there. You know, I guess we'll get to that. But yeah, mostly just sort of expected throwaways.
Yeah, I you know, I mentioned sort of skipping Gescom for a while because I associate side projects with just kind of, I don't want to use the word laziness, but just kind of, you know, throwaway stuff that I'm really not interested in as a listener. Maybe some people are different, but I'm just not. And I think of remixes the same way. So I never had much interest in checking this stuff out. I did start listening to the remixes based on people's recommendations, like way early in the course of this podcast. I would just throw them on sometimes. And, you know, as we got into the, like, deeper into the Autechre discography, I found them like an occasional respite, sort of like a little fun, a little energy, a little like classic 90s you know, vibes to like mix in with the Confields and the Drafts and all that stuff. So I've enjoyed listening to them, but I guess, you know, what I was expecting when we really dove in this week was to, yeah, just find some fun, really. And that's all I was really hoping for. So we'll see how that turned out. But on that note, I wanted to ask you about this article that Keith Moline, if I'm not butchering his name completely, wrote for The Wire magazine in 2014, a primer on Autechre's remixes that, instead of ranking or anything like that, divides Autechre's approach to remixing into a handful of categories. The remix as revisiting, as drift, as hyperreality, as industrial construction, as obliteration, as disappearance, and as re-engagement. So first off, what did you think about that article? And this is definitely something we'll have to circle back to. But do you have any own of your own thoughts on how Odd Ticker seems to think about or approach the art of remixing?
That article, I liked it a lot. I wish if I had read that like in 2014, I think I definitely would have like checked out Odd Ticker's remixing better. You know, it was a really interesting look at something that I've always sort of thought as something artists, especially electronic artists, do for money. There's the famous 26 mixes for cash, right, and stuff, and I've always felt like at least he's honest, like that is sort of like the whole point of that. But that article really like sort of made me like think of it in a different way. And it was I even like the categories it brought up, because one of the things that some of the remixes that I was familiar with, kind of fell in that disappearance section. Oh. And I think that was sort of like the one of the song from Earth. I'm a huge fan of Earth, so when I knew about that remix record, and then Odd Ticker's on it, another band I like, obviously, I check that song out, and it's one where they've just completely disappeared. It's just basically an Earth song that they've like literally mixed differently, remixed. And so I feel like I always sort of fell into that disappearance thing, but seeing these other ways of looking at their remix work and sort of defining it in these different ways was interesting, enlightening, and I think made me like appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a really interesting article, because it kind of starts with the premise, which I definitely want to talk about more later, that the sort of low stakes of the remix, and as you mentioned, the kind of commercial origins of most remixes, kind of frees Odd Ticker up to play around a little bit when it comes to their remixing. And so by dividing it into different approaches, I guess you can sort of start thinking of Odd Ticker's remixes as just like, I don't know, whatever mood they were in that day, like when they got the order or whatever, or decided to accept it. Like, and so sometimes I think they're being kind of silly or fun, or like just trying something weird, or like barely doing anything, as with that Earth remix, sometimes completely destroying it, obliterating it. I like the word they used there. I mean, what I sort of started to feel, and again, we'll talk about this more, but what I started to feel is that I don't really get the sense that Odd Ticker cares much for anything that they remix. Like, it's sort of intangible, but I almost never get this feeling that they love the original song. In fact, I kind of get a feeling that they couldn't give less of a shit about the original song. And it just becomes some little like platform for them to do something entirely unrelated,
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that sort of bothers me about remix work, like in general, not just Odd Ticker. It's sort of like, I like Odd Ticker, and the reasons I like Odd Ticker are like their approach to music. And so when they have to take another song, and I think Odd Ticker does do a good thing, like you just said, and just sort of say, forget that original song. But it's still like they have to use, or most of the time they use sounds from it, samples from it, it's still like limiting it in some way, like it has to become like part of their sound palette. And I don't know, that's sort of like a strange way to make art for somebody, like Odd Ticker, that seems to be about, really making their own sort of thing. I mean, there's certain artists and stuff, like DJ Screw and stuff, where like, that's cool, and that is like part of their art. DJ Shadow, Avalanches, all those sorts of things. Like, it is their art that they take other things and mix them around and change it, and that's cool in one way. But Odd Ticker's just, what I like about them isn't that sort. It doesn't really line up with the idea of the remix, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to interrogate this as we go on, but it's like I get the feeling that they sort of resent that they have to do it, but it like they still use it as an opportunity to just kind of like explore something. Like, I feel like they don't say yes unless they hear something that they could play with. But I don't think it has any relationship to any quality in the song at all. It just gives them some idea. Like with Aphex Twin, you can feel like hate coming from him a lot of the time. Like, just the title, 26 Mixes for Cash, and the way he just like his complete piss takes on stuff like that Nine Inch Nails song and stuff like that. Like, I think sometimes he has actual disdain for what he has to remix. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that from Autechre. I just feel total indifference. Like, they are just...
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Yeah, maybe there would be something fun we could do with that one sound.
I agree. Especially, you know, as we went through, you know, these remixes and stuff, there's much more of them earlier in the career. That Wire article sort of goes through it, too. It was sort of like a huge thing in the 90s, like the remix as an idea. But, I think it remains an idea in electronic music. And it does feel like, you know, Autechre, as they slow down with them, I think that brings some truth to what you said. You know, like, they probably had to accept more of them in the past, you know, one, for money, and you know, just for cred, getting your own name out there. And then, you know, nowadays it seems like, you know, like, they did that Sophie song, and that was the first remix in a bit, and it's probably they probably heard something that, you know, they thought they could kind of do with it, and I think, you know, probably respected Sophie as an artist, or you know, whatnot. And so I do feel like you're definitely right. You know, it seems as they get older and more established that they take less and less of these on.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I do think that this is an important part of the story, which is that there was like a hysteria over remixing in the 90s. It was like a real, it was like mutual clout chasing, where it was like these fringe electronic artists could get their name on like a big time pop record or like indie rock record or something, and you know, reach some new fans that way. But simultaneously, these acts, you know, when as IDM was becoming so cool, quote unquote IDM, like, they could get a little cred by you know, getting Aphex or Autechre or something to remix their stuff. So I think that makes a complicated, you know, I can imagine how Autechre might have felt having to live through that era. Now, one last big picture item, we got to talk about how we came up with our list, starting with Laxier. I'm not sure at all how to pronounce that. Laxier. But you want to read the background info on that, Dan?
Yeah. Laxier, I also don't know how to pronounce it, is a fan-made compilation featuring most but not all of Autechre's remixes from the years between 1994 and 2005. It started to appear on file-sharing sites around that time, but it received some kind of an update in 2008. It then got an unofficial extra disc, which feels weird to say because it was never official to begin with, in 2014, which added another decade of remix material. Attempts have been made to collect everything Laxier is missing, but at the time of this recording, and regardless of what permutation you managed to get your hands on, it remains the definitive AE remix compilation. We probably can't get away with uploading it for you guys, but we'll put the info page in the show notes of this episode so you can track it down yourselves.
Yeah, and I'll just add that in the Ask Autechre Anything from 2013, the guys were asked, have you considered releasing a remix compilation, and what do you think of the bootleg Laxier compilation that's all over the net? I, for one, would prefer good quality versions of all these tracks. A 7-CD box set in a similar vein to the EP's box a couple of years ago would make me gush. Sean replied, licensing nightmare. We suggested it to Warp back when there were only about 40 of them, and they passed on it. If any labels want to do it, contact us if you want it to be above board, that is, because trademark issues. So, doubt. I have serious doubt that's ever going to happen. But I think we both started this process by listening to all of Laxier over and over again, and I'm curious to know what you think of it as a compilation. The description reads, the tracks, which are in rough chronological order, display the evolution of Autechre and more generally the change of electronic music over a decade. So does it work like that as a whole for you?
You know, it gets to be a bit much, I think. You know, when you look at it as this whole 7-disc, you know, kind of thing, I think it reaches around 8 hours at that point. And it's like, you know, NTS also reaches that point, but I think, you know, NTS is like designed to be that long and that sort of thing. You know, these remixes just being a compilation, I think if you try to listen to the whole thing in a sitting, or you know, as a large chunk over the day or so, as I did many times, it gets to be a little tiresome. I really came to enjoy it all a lot more once we had narrowed down our two lists, and I made, you know, two separate playlists, and you know, I really I really began to enjoy it more. I think also it being in chronological order, I think that's the way to do it. Any sort of those, you know, anthologies. I mean, the EP thing is the same way. I think it's the correct way to list it, but it does become a little tiresome because, you know, you just sort of get this like sameness, you know, kind of, even though it like changes over the discs, you know, it's just like, you're always sort of like, now you're in, you know, the late 90s. Now you're in the, you know, 2000s. Now you're in the, you know, late 2000s.
But honestly, I feel like you're like barely changing because there's so much remix stuff in the mid 90s.
Yeah, exactly. You're stuck there for so long.
Yeah. The vast majority of Lexier is like, you know, it claims to show the evolution of electronic music, but it shows the evolution between like 94 and 96, basically, yeah, exactly. For like the vast majority. And then we get like a little bit of the stuff later, but they slow way down. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. It gets sort of tiring. And I don't know, but it's still interesting to hear. I still found it kind of because of like the, I want to say cohesiveness, but just like the sort of similar style that's running through this whole thing. I found it quite pleasant to just have on and not pay close attention to. Like, it actually really worked well that way.
That's true. You know, I did have it on, you know, several times, like throughout a day of work. And it was like the days, you know, when I first started listening to it, and I'm not really so worried about my list notes, you know, I'm just sort of getting a feel for the thing. That was sort of more entertaining or enjoyable, I guess is the word. Because yeah, I would just have, you know, it was just on and, yeah, I mean, it's all good music. I don't think there's anything here that I was, yeah, I mean, as with the whole Autechre discography, there's nothing that was like offensive to the ear. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, after listening to Lexier a bunch, how'd you go about making, your list? And I should mention, you know, we listened to, the sort of extended version that brings it up to 2014. I tried poking around a little bit for stuff that didn't make Lexier, and I don't know, nothing was like really super grabbing me. And because it became sort of a ritual of mine to just listen to like Lexier, just have it on in the background all the time, I found myself basically just picking tracks from that. But what was your process of picking your list?
Yeah, I pretty much just stuck with what was in Lexier. You know, I knew there was a couple things missing, but you know, I know I'm lazy. So if it was something outside of that, I mean, it would have had to have really blown me away to make it into the list. So I pretty much just like, that was my first culling, was saying, I'll just take, you know, and I did use the longer version, but, you know, I'll just take Lexier. And then, like I said, I had it on just in the background, sort of, you know, getting a feel for it for a day or two. And then after that, you know, I basically just took a piece of paper while I was at work. And as I listened, I had a, you know, I made a little box of, you know, dislike, on the back. And then, you know, once I had gone through it, you know, a few times, I was sort of placed every song into one of those three, you know, boxes. And then, from the like list, I, you know, further culled it down until there were just 10.
See, I just kind of listened like all the time over the past couple of weeks. And whenever, you know, that moment, because it's so easy to like let it recede into the background, as I was saying, there'd be these moments where it would kind of like snap my attention, you know, and then I would like jot that song down, whatever that was.
Yeah. And then I get that that's usually how things made the like list.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just ended up having like this little list of stuff that, you know, I kept wanting to like replay. And, then I had to narrow those down. I mean, on that note, was it hard to actually get to the top 10?
No, it honestly was easier than I would have thought. I mean, when we first started doing this and I first saw that it was, you know, 8 hours, and I think it's, I don't remember how many tracks it was, you know, I was pretty overwhelmed, I think, and I thought it was going to be so hard to do 10, but really, I mean, you know, once I got it narrowed down to the ones that I, you know, that snapped me to attention, I didn't really have, I think I only had, you know, 15 or 20 in that, you know, the okay list was, you know, by far the longest one. And then I think the order was probably a little difficult. And to be honest, you know, if you asked me on a different day, the order would probably come up differently. And sometimes, you know, we on different podcasts, I don't know, did we ever done a top 10 list on Gonkast?
We did we ranked the Japanese bonus track.
That's it. I knew he had done one, but even that was different. You know, like on our other music podcast we've done, you know, we've ranked like album, like we did I think Sgt. Pepper's. And so it's like before we even start that podcast, I know what number one is, you know? And
right.
You know, I knew what number one was. I knew what, you know, the last one would be too. Here, you know, it is a little more difficult because it's not like, oh, there, you know, there's no day in the life here, you know?
Right. I felt like there was a pretty high like bar almost the entire like group, you know? It was like,
yeah,
there
exactly.
was nothing really bad as you mentioned. And yeah, so I feel like honestly on a different day I might change. And then I was even like listening to, because I was really trying to like just remember those songs that kind of like grab my attention, like you said. But then I feel like if we continue to do this for two more weeks, it might be like a couple other songs would do that. Like it would just happen, you know, because I was even like listening to some of your tracks and I was like, damn, this is better than some of the ones I picked. Like, so I don't know. It's just like such a high sort of high, not super high, but all like high quality stuff that I found it quite hard actually to, you know, pick the top 10. It felt a little arbitrary. Just a couple more things I got to mention. One, did you consider the originals at all in making your list?
No, not at all. I only knew a handful of originals, you know, just originally listening to this, you know, Earth, Tortoise. That may have been about it, you know. So I just went with it, you know. I wasn't going to listen to 8 hours of other music and then this music and stuff. So I basically just looked at this as if they were just Autechre songs, you know?
Yeah, me too. It was basically the last thing I did was check out the originals.
Literally the last thing I did, yeah.
yeah. And I don't know, there's something about it that just gave me no interest at all in even like wondering, you know? So
yeah.
I did kind of think of them just as Autechre songs. And as we'll discuss, I think a lot of them actually just sound like Autechre songs rather than remixes of anything in particular. Okay, last thing I got to mention is our rule where we decided not to include stuff that we have already talked about. So, you know, that eliminates just a couple things that I mentioned, but I think most importantly, it eliminates the Guestcom remixes, you know, from This and That and the Keynel, like the Autechre Keynel remixes. You know, these are pretty... honestly, with listening to Laxier, like these would be the I think the big highlights, but we eliminated them, you know, so I cut them off my playlist so I wouldn't keep like accidentally wasting 10 minutes listening to one of those, you know.
I did the same thing because, you know, the first time I left them on there just kind of hear how they went in the record, but I mean they would always like grab my attention, not always, you know, because it's the best song, but it's just like, you know, when you hear a song you recognize, it was the ones that I was familiar with, and they did keep grabbing my attention because, you know, I came to like most of those songs, and so yeah, I took them out of you know, the playlist so that I wouldn't get bogged down with them. Except one that I put on my list because I'm an idiot and I forgot that we talked about it until you read this intro here. So one of mine we have talked about before.
Well, we will get to that. But yeah, I can kind of safely say I think that like the Keynel remixes in particular would probably be like number one and two on my list.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we
didn't include them.
I think we even talked about that during the Keynel episode about how vastly superior they are, just even in the Guestcom discography.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get into the list now. And bear with me because I'm, you know, we're keeping, again, the orders secret from each other. So I've got like, all these notes in my notebook that are not in the right order. I have notes on our doc that are not in the right order, so I'm gonna have to like find everything. But let's hear what is your number 10 favorite Autechre remix.
Yeah, for the record, I rewrote my notes in order, so I'm the smart one this episode. My number 10 is Paroles Autechre Repulse, is the full title there. It's a remix of Paroles by Mike Inc, an alias of Wolfgang Voigt, better known of course as Gas. Is released along with the original on a 1996 EP also called Paroles, though it looks at like it was simultaneously released under the name Polka Tracks for some reason also.
Okay, so why'd you pick this one?
Yeah, I didn't know that this was had anything to do with gas, basically, until... you know, reading our little intro things that you wrote there. I do like gas. So maybe that's not surprising, but I like this one, because it's got like a real sort of, ambient, like kind of feel to it. I really love the, like, I assume it's like a bass synth. It's just sort of like howling in the wind in the background, which, you know, now knowing that it's gas, it that sort of makes some more sense. And I just really love the bass drum, like not only the sound of it here, it's just like a really like good sounding bass drum, but also like the pattern of it is really great, almost in like a sort of krautrocky way. Like it's not technically, you know, it's not like a motoric beat or anything. It's just I don't know, the pattern of it sort of like and sound of it just sort of gave me that feel, which I of course love. So, you know, that's why I had to grab this one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should mention that it doesn't sound a whole lot like Gas. I mean, it's not his Gas project. And I don't know much about like this Mike Inc alias, but, you know, the original track is kind of like a pure like electro acid workout. It almost sounds like that high NRG genre of music, or like a tallow disco kind of genre. And they kind of like take all that energy and like bottle it up and slow it down or something. Like if you can like feel it in there, but it's like all kind of contained. It's a really, I mean, a striking track. It didn't make my list, but it's just got this kind of, I don't know, heavy slam of a beat. It kind of reminds me of like when Mike Paradinas goes like real hip hop or something, like real breakbeat sometimes, you know? And yeah, I find it kind of, I don't know, just like droning on a little bit until toward the latter half, you get this like big lush wall of just like strings and synths that is like stunning, absolutely stunning crescendo. And then when it drops out, I actually like the track a lot more for some reason, like in the absence of this huge wall of sound.
Yeah, I do agree with you. It does drone on a little bit too long in the beginning, and I think that's really what put it at number 10 on the list, you know, instead of anywhere higher, because it does overstay its welcome. Like just
a lot of these remixes are really long.
Yeah,
a lot of them are.
No, I know that's what surprised me too. I mean, when we first started, you know, I knew the compilation had a lot of tracks, but I don't know, for some reason, I just always sort of assumed all remixes were like for the dance floor and they were three to 5 minutes, but I should have known better, I guess. But yeah, like to get back to the track, I think like what you said is right. You know, the original, which I didn't really dig, has like, doesn't really sound like Gas and stuff, and I feel like Ottakar kind of put the gas back in here. Like I said, like with that sort of howling noise, you know, like Gas always like, it reminds me and I think everybody of like being in a forest kind of thing, and then you know this howling, you know, synth is sort of like the, you know, the wolf in the distance or something stupid like that. And even just like the, you know, Gas isn't known for being high energy, you know, but it does sort of sometimes do that, like, you know, there's a beat happening, it just sounds like so far away that like you could tell the energy's there, but it's like, you know, it's been stripped by this filter or just, you know, by the distance of it. And I sort of felt like that's what this one, you know, did. It was like Ottakar, you know, put the gas back in gas here.
Yeah, that's a good point. A couple, I tried to dig up like Ottakar comments if I could find them, not so easy to do, but this isn't exactly related, but in the 2013 Ask Ottakar Anything, the guys were asked, what do you think of Wolfgang Voigt's Gas project? Sean replied, really like it. To be honest, I'm a huge fan of his anyway. He was then asked, awesome, do you have a favorite Gas album? Also, do you like his recent stuff? Sean replied, pop, because of nostalgia. And yeah, I love SOG. I don't know what that means. Daring, perverse, annoying the minimal techno crowd, full marks. Rob added, favorite Gas LP is Pop 4, track 6 and 7, quite specifically. So there you go. I'll also mention that we had a few listeners going to try to read these as we go through when we did get listeners writing about what happened to be our favorite remixes. Listener Tom named it his 10th favorite AE remix, hey, just too. Like you. And honestly, Tom comes up a lot here because I feel like he has very similar taste to both of us somehow. His list was like very similar to ours. But he wrote, this would fit on Anvil Vapor, a slow build from mechanical beats into something quite lush and rich. And then listener Darren named it his 7th favorite AE remix. But I feel like listener Tom kind of nails it. It's like exactly what I like about it is like, you know, that kind of mechanical beats mm-hmm. I'm okay with, but that like lush richness is really great.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with Tom there, which is why I also put it at 10.
All right. Well, my number 10 is Evolution of the Beast Autechre Mix is the full title. And it's a remix of a 1994 single from Palmskin Productions called The Beast. It was released on a 1996 or possibly 1995 remix EP. I don't know why that's so confusing. Called The Beast Remix. Now, I think why I picked this one is it was just one I found myself like, you know, listening in the background, kind of settling into the groove. The original is like a real borderline generic, like kind of down tempo trip hop chill kind of a thing. You know, obviously like really, really fits 1994. I think this Palmskin Productions original and Autechre kind of like take a section of it, make it something a little bit more menacing. Like we've got this like really low bass kind of thump melody. But then it gets joined by this kind of light pitter patter of a hip hop beat, something kind of like DJ scratching, although to me it sounds more like a zipper, like kind of dancing around on top of the track. And then eventually these really like jazzy kind of chords and pads that turn even that menacing bass sound into something like very pretty. It ends up almost like, I don't even know how to, like going in through the back door and arriving at the same vibe as the original, kind of like it's very chill in that same way, even though like it felt very weird how we arrived there eventually. And I guess I just like it because I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but like I'm just a massive, massive fan of Luke Vibber, particularly his project Plug and his project Wagon Christ. And this track kind of sounds like a combination of Plug and Wagon Christ. But what do you think about it?
Yeah, this one I like. I don't think I really listened to the original, or I don't remember it much if I did. You know, it's good. This is one of those ones that always sort of felt a little background to me. You know, it never jumped out. You know, it was firmly in the okay list for me. You know, I think it is really it's nice, chill. You know, I think it's a good track. It just nothing stands out too much in it for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and yet it was like I was just thinking like I enjoy it so much while I'm listening to it. Like what more? Like why am I going to be greedy and like ask for more? Like it feels so good.
No, I mean, you know, there's definitely like you know, a role for that in types of music. I mean, you know, that's the original point of ambient music, you know, with music for airports and stuff.
All right. Well, there are no listener comments, no Autechre comments. I guess nobody likes it as much as I do. So what is your number 9 Autechre remix?
Yeah, number 9 for me is Odd Job's Systems Mono version. It's a remix of Odd Job from Phoenicia's 2000 album, Brown Out. However, the single in a Massage Companion remix album called Odd Jobs, which features Autechre's version, came out in 1999. This one I picked, it's a pretty like sort of high energy track. It really gives me a lot of Venetian snare type vibes. It's got like a breakcore, you know, sort of percussion thing going on. But it's still, yeah, I mean, I you can hear a lot of Autechre in it. Like there's this little, I wish I knew, you know, what sort of synth it was, but it's like the little like boop, boop, boop noise that happens a bunch at the front and stuff, like these mm-hmm. these little like beeping trills. And I don't know, they just feel like a classic, you know, early Autechre sort of sound, you know, an Incunabula sort of sound that I liked, you know, kind of sneaking in there. This one I don't incredibly remember the original.
The original I think is like kind of good, actually. Like a lot of these originals are not good, but I really kind of like this. And I should mention that like we didn't get any comments on this particular remix, but listener Mike did once write in to recommend that we talk about Phoenicia at some point, calling Brownout, quote, an amazing album. And yeah, I don't know how to describe it. It's got this kind of like stuttering digital, like thump of a kind of feel, like really fast and just really high def and like close to your head. It kind of makes me think of like Ricardo Villalobos, like kind of his mid period stuff. I don't know, it's quite inventive, like digital sound design, and like Autechre fuck it up, you know, like they turned it into like just a rhythmic chaos. Like it verges onto Confield territory, and you know, it's a little early for that. I honestly feel like this one, and there's another one that I picked that I feel the same about, but it's like they're doing a remix, and so they're kind of like, you know, who cares? Let's just push this as far as we want, like even a little bit farther than they were at that point willing to go with their own music. And maybe little experiments like that actually did kind of, you know, free them up to, you know, turn the light bulb on or something to actually go a little bit farther out in their own project.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I think that is like the benefit of the remix work, because I think that comes up here, you know, a few times. You know, it was always sort of hard to remember what you know, what track was from what year and stuff as you're going through it and stuff. And you know, and then what album period you're in, you know. But yeah, I think that is like a definite like benefit of this remix work. I think you can tell like they're, especially when they're working with people like this who are her you know, contemporaries and stuff, you know, like they've got to be learning for, you know, either from the people or even just from, you know, the way they fuck up their song.
Yeah because I think, you know, sometimes like on that Wire article they're talking about like the remix as obliteration and stuff like that, and I feel like they kind of get into the obliteration game even earlier in their remixes than they do into their own work, which is definitely illuminating, even if it's like songs like this I don't love as much as the stuff on Confield, obviously, but it's like still kind of some little window. So I'll move on to my number nine, which is Erekaya. I have no idea how to pronounce this, some Japanese word. It is actually it seems like it's more of a collaboration than a remix. It's from Mari Hamada's 1997 album Amu Ana. Maybe it's remixing something, but I can't figure it out because all of the available information is in Japanese. It's basically kind of like a J-pop song, and it's got this sort of, I don't know, thudding hip hop beat. You can hear the kind of trademark like 1997 Chiastic era Autechre like grinding and cranking sounds mixed into the beat, but it's all been like softened in a way that makes it feel a bit more palatable. And then you get this kind of like sped up harp line, almost like a plucky thing running through it. And her singing is just kind of like this dreamy, I don't know, double tracked kind of thing, and it just kind of contrasts very strangely with the track. Like it just feels like the vocals are laid on top of something they don't belong on, because we also get some sort of melodic elements that like occasionally threaten to go into like pure atonal kind of chords, I think, like just drones. And it makes this really weird like disembodied separation between like a pure almost lullaby-esque pop song and like this really strange production. Honestly, I like, if I want to be cynical about it, I feel like some label by this Mari Hamada singer was like, we need an All Is Full of Love, that Bjork song that got the Aphex remix. Like it feels like it's kind of trying to be that. And yeah, I just love the very bizarre separation between the sound of the music and the sound of the singing. I expect this to be a little divisive. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm sure you it'll come as no surprise, but this one made it on the hate list. I do not like this song at all. I don't like J-pop. I don't like any of that you know, stuff. It's not for me. The singing is very annoying on this song. It's one that honestly after the first couple times in the listening to the whole compilation, I just would go ahead and skip. And I was delighted to see that it got added to your playlist. So I got yeah. forced to listen to it anyways. But I do not like this one at all. I mean, it's interesting in the sense that, like, you know, we've always talked about, you know, how cool it would be to have like Atik or have, you know, work with like a rapper or, you know, or a singer or something. And so it's like we sort of get a little glimpse of it here, and I think it still could be interesting. It's just you know, the vocals are not the sort of music I choose to listen to on my own.
Yeah, I mean, I find it kind of catchy and nice and pleasant, but it's like there's something about just the dichotomy is so strange. Now, I want to mention, like, listener Tom put this at number 11 on his AE remix list and wrote, as the only actual song in Autechre's discography, I have to include this one. I almost kind of feel that way as well. It is so, like, striking and different from anything Autechre has ever done. I also want to note that I know for a fact that somebody else recommended we check this out, like, a long time ago, but I cannot find the email because I think they literally just included the YouTube link and were like, you should check this out. So shout out to them, whoever they are. Last thing I want to know is Autechre did kind of comment on this when they were asked about it in the 2013 Ask Autechre Anything. Somebody said, any chance on collaborating with a Japanese singer again? The track with Mari Hamada is beautiful. Sean replied, maybe, it was a laugh, although they remixed the hell out of it. The original mix we did was better, in my opinion, unreleased. They were also asked, how does such an artist as Mari Hamada come to an idea to have her tracks remixed by you? I mean, I would expect Tortoise to be really into experimental music or Radiohead, but Hamada? It is quite surprising for me. Sean replied, labels.
Yeah, I think the labels comment, you know, sort of answers what we had been thinking about, you know, before. Yeah. That a lot of this is, you know, foisted upon them and for money, you know?
Yeah, I really feel like some of the noisiness of this track has been toned down to be more palatable, like I said. So that might be the interference a little bit. And I really feel like kind of in that cynical way again, that like this label just wanted her to have her own All Is Full of Love, which would have come out like just before this probably. But I still kind of like it despite itself. So what is your number eight remix?
Yeah, number eight for me, I've got no idea how to pronounce, a Vugel and Sword Autechre mix. Yeah. It's a remix of a Vugel and Sword from Dominic Dawkins' 1996 album. Man, I shouldn't have picked this one. Cheval de Troy, I don't speak French, released on a 1996 remix EP, thankfully also called Avigal and Sword Remixes. this one I picked, it's got like this awesome, like menacing percussion that's like weirdly like also sort of doubling as a regular instrument, you know, like a melodic instrument. That's one thing that Autechre does a lot that I love. I mean, I think the main reason I love any electronic music and Autechre in general is I really love like percussion and drums and stuff. And here it's just such a cool thing to do, to like not just use it as you know, the beat in the background, but it's, you know, a center of the song. You know, it's really like pushing it forward. And I mean, it's part of the main melody. Also, in the background, I really love the that like gritty like delay saw noise. You know, it's like it's when you like, we used to do it all the time. It's like when you take the delay and turn the time, or the repeat all the way up, time all the way down, and you know, you fuck with it and you get this real like distorted, you know, a bit crushed sort of like sound out of it. And they do that a lot in the background here. And it's just a really cool noise.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of interpreted it as like almost a pretty straight up, like palm muted metal guitar chug. Like that was kind of how I heard that like beat, that's going on through, although there are those kind of fluttery loops, as you mentioned, and then this kind of weird like clicks mixed with like a very glitchy hi-hat as like a pretty minimal percussion, but it's all like just this kind of like really heavy distorted like palm mute guitar chug, which was really striking. And also really striking that like the track never drops. It just kind of like keeps like almost building in intensity by just repeating this sort of chug. I liked that. I like that twist on it. And I should mention, I feel like this was a common theme on your list just for me personally. Like, a lot of the tracks you picked, the original song I think is like fucking terrible. And this one is so bad. Like, I feel bad. Like this is probably just some obscure like French dude or whatever. I hate to shit on him, but like, it's basically like some French Smashing Pumpkins ripoff, like kind of shoegaze, but just very rock. And I almost felt like building the entire track around like a palm muted chug was like Autechre making fun of rock music or something.
Maybe. Yeah. I definitely didn't like the original here for those same reasons, but yeah, I mean, maybe that is like sort of the joke. And I guess maybe that is what that sound was. I don't like metal, so I didn't
you're
think
so
of it.
Unused to hearing it. Yeah, in Autechre. It's like you didn't even recognize
it
as a guitar.
I honestly didn't. But yeah, I mean, maybe that is sort of a humor in it. But also, I mean, that I didn't realize that until you said it, but I that is one thing I like. I like when people, you know, use a sound as something else, you know, in music.
Yeah,
And so that's a super creative, you know, neat thing. I mean, honestly, that makes me like that more.
Yeah, I think it was very cool. I also didn't make my list, but very cool. And I'll mention the listener, Tom, named it his second favorite AE remix and wrote, "Dark and brooding, incredible, crunchy percussion." So maybe he didn't recognize it as guitar either. Maybe I'm mishearing stuff. You know, let us know what you think. Gawkaspod@gmail.com. So
you do love the Smashing Pumpkins, don't you? So you're...
Why'd you have to bring that up? Just gotta embarrass me here. You know, yeah, some of the early stuff I like. I'll admit it. I like it.
You know a good palm mute when you hear one.
I do. I'm into 90s alt rock. What can I say? I like it. So my number 8 is Gold Autechre Mix. And this one is a remix of Gold from Lamb's 1996 self-titled LP. It was released on a 1996 single for the track. I guess what I like about this one, I mean, when you listen to the original, it really sounds like kind of a Portishead ripoff, like just kind of a trip-hop thing. And there's kind of like chopped record sound effects going on. Like, not like how that sounds, but just like weird, almost like Plunderphonics-y use of like kind of texture over the thing, mm-hmm, at different points over like an otherwise pretty generic track with like really the singer is like doing, I think, a like an impression of the singer from Portishead. And what Autechre does with it is they kind of twist it again, like they take just one little part of it, like one little part of the bass riff, you can kind of hear it, but it's just looping that little part. We get this kind of weird, like almost frantic start stop beat. Like it feels kind of subdued and mellow, but if you really focus on it, it's quite like chaotic, the beat. And then they kind of amp up that subduedness by bringing in these kind of drones and like just motionless tones hanging over the thing. And then the best part is that you get this kind of twisted, like stuttering whoosh noise or something, which I think must be some aspect of some of that like Plunderphonics-y sound effects. And they make it the lead instrument. Like they make it the most hypnotizing, like arresting loop, mm-hmm, at the very center of this track. And so maybe this is one of those ones where I was a little bit influenced by just how like how much they actually improved the original, like turned it into gold quite literally. And yeah, so I just really like, I feel like this is almost typical of what I think of as kind of this period of Autechre, like mid-90s Autechre, is like they often built tracks around one sound that was really interesting to them, and then they just made that the centerpiece. Even it's just the sound of it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Not the music, but just the sound of it. They built an entire track around it. I feel like they do that with this remix.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's one thing that I you know, envy about Autechre, is that ability to like focus in on just like that one thing and build something from it. You know, this song I liked. It was one that you know, after we had locked in our two playlists and, you know, going back and forth listening to those, I sort of, if I was on my own, I probably would have bumped it into my list, but you know, I couldn't change everything up on you. So I didn't, but it's definitely, you know, like if I have to put it somewhere on my, you know, I'd put it at number 11 at this point, I think.
Yeah. I really, really like it. Listener Mike actually wrote in and called it Autechre's best remix, or at least one of their very best. He added, they take that track in a completely different direction. If you didn't know it was a remix, you would think it's one of their original tracks. So great. I mean, I agree. I think it's just, it's so impressive that they take like what is, like, I don't think this band realized, you know, what they had done. Like, they, because they were just using this like kind of strange sound as dressing, and Autechre built an entire like new song around it. So what is your number seven?
Number seven for me is 1647, Numbers Rammed Down By My Ear Mix. I like that little subtitle.
Yeah.
A remix of 16417 from Impulse's 1997 album of the same name. No idea where the second one went. However, it was originally released on a 1996 EP called 16417 EP, which also featured Autechre's remix. This song, it's just great. I really love this one. This was one that I kept almost putting further up in there. First off, the drums here are fantastic. It's like a marching band beat. The beat is like, you know, a marching band, but it's not the sound like a marching band would make. You know, it's not like, you know, it's these electronic, like, I don't know, evil sounding, you know, kind of drums, which was like so cool. It just like really settles in on that that marching thing, and it just makes a really nice little jam. You know, in fact, I was at the gym today listening to this, and it was a good treadmill song. You know, it was, you know, which I don't get normally with Autechre here. But yeah, it just really like hits a stride and holds it. And I don't know. This is another one I almost bumped up, but I had already printed my list on paper and I didn't want to scratch it out.
Yeah, this is one that as I was listening to it after you sent me your list, I was thinking like, I should have put this on my list.
Yeah.
Like, it's good enough to be in my top 10. It's really fantastic. It's honestly, the original is also very cool. Like, it is really, really cool track. And what it is almost like a jazzy kind of drum solo. Like, what that is like a snare roll, just like running over the entire track with these kind of like little tom taps. You know, it just sounds like a, what's that drummer in the Dave Brubeck band? Joe Morello, maybe is his name. But anyway, just like with these like little hitting toms here and there. And so it's just like a constant like rolling snare. And then there's like these weird gurgling chord blasts under it. Sometimes these like jazzy, like straight up chimes like running over the top. It's like very, very cool. And then Autechre, I mean, this is fucking brilliant. Like basically they take this kind of wild experimental track. For the first part, they make the drums like they completely destroy them. And go into almost like electroacoustic destruction. And then they sort of like turn this wild drum insanity, like really digitizing basically what is a jazz drum solo. And they turn it into almost like a normal beat for this, like the prettiest, gentlest, plinking piano kind of melody with this really like full warm bass accompaniment. They turn it into like a stunner of a melodic piece. But the whole time you kind of feel like, maybe it's just because you got to hear it in the beginning, but you feel like that kind of violent chaos is like simmering underneath. Like the drums might go nuts at any moment, you know?
Yeah, it does always like it threatens to, you know, you to have that evil sound, you know, come back on you at any minute. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's so impressive that they basically took something like wild and out of control, made it more wild and out of control, and then actually pulled way back and made it almost normal. I mean, it's like a masterstroke. Listener Tom, by the way, named it his sixth favorite AE remix and wrote, "Pretty wild until the beats settle down, then the top tier melody takes over." Couldn't agree more. I really would. I mean, we were talking about this like recently with Guestcom, but it's like, this is another one of their like honestly strongest melodies. They don't do it a lot, and it's like really, really strong.
Yeah. I mean, it does sort of seem like the melody, you know, kind of comes up in the remix a bit, but it, you know, I don't know if it's because they're working with other people's things or what, but yeah, I completely agree with you.
Well, my number seven is Skang Autechre remix. This is a remix of Skang from the Bugs 2008 album London Zoo. It was released on a 2010 EP titled Infected, which actually included a second AE remix called Skang Autechre Dub on some but not all versions. You know, I picked this one because I don't know. The original is like really interesting. It's almost like a classic in its own right. I feel like Autechre doesn't usually remix stuff like that, like such high profile kind of classic tracks. You know, they're much more into, I think, the very obscure, like weird things. Mm-hmm. But the original is kind of like lacking in the low end. It's got like a lot of this kind of dubstepy wubbing, but it's really given like a Suicide treatment, like the band Suicide, where it's like very thin and like not done sounding, but it really works for the track. And then what Autechre does is kind of, I don't know, make everything like deeper and heavier. That kind of like clang that's like running through the track is made, for lack of a better word, clangier, much more prominent. And the beat is like just this tumbling mess of low end, like the, like you can hear the wubbing, but it's like so much lower and deeper and heavier that it's more like a grinding sound. It's just like such cool minimalist heaviness that I think sounds great against his like very like low voice. It's like the whole track is just like the embodiment of like guttural groaning or something.
Yeah, it'll probably come as no surprise, but I also do not like this track.
Wow.
I don't like the vocals. I agree with your points about, you know, Autechre's contributions to it, and, you know, I guess that's what we're actually talking about, but and maybe that's one problem I have with vocals, is that it's hard to, like, completely divorce the original song from the, you know, remix when you have, like, such a prominent, like, portion running throughout it.
Yeah.
I don't like his rapping. I'm not a fan of The Bug. He also has a record with Earth that I hate.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I hate. I think it has, like, a 2-something on Rate Your Music, even.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is one of another track that after the first couple listens got taken out of the playlist. Then thankfully got put back when you picked it.
My wife kept like poking her head in the room and being like, are you listening to Shauna Paul? And you know, I think she started to do it to like actually annoy me after I corrected her a couple, like she knew it bugged me. But yeah, Sean Paul, if you're not into that, maybe you won't be into this. Autechre did kind of comment on this one, not directly, but in that Ask Autechre Anything Again, they were asked to share any anecdotes about their collaborative workflow. And Rob wrote, it's quite easy to remove whole channels by accident. I ruined Sean's latest version of the Skang remix by losing a track. It was a while before we realized, while I was commenting on the mix so far, that what I had was completely wrong. So presumably whatever he had accidentally deleted got re-added or whatever, but just kind of funny and like a weird little quirky window into how they work. Like, you can imagine him being like, this sounds fucked up, and him being like, wait, do you have the whole thing?
That is pretty funny. Like, I wish they would do another one of these, you know, Ask Autechre or anything. It's a shame that it's almost been 10 years.
It's the best Autechre interview that was ever done in history.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Now, this track, Skang, was a clear listener favorite. We got a bunch of emails about it. Listener Chris recommended this one all the way back when we pretty much just started the podcast. Listener Wendell called it one of his favorites and wrote, some heavy dancehall here. The remix brings a tighter bass sound, but it's no less heavy. Listener Willem wrote, I think Skang is one of AE's best remixes. Really cool to hear the guys stepping into a new genre. The way they stripped down the beat and added some atmosphere to it makes for a really interesting listen. Would love to hear them do more grime dub remixes. And listener Joe wrote, Skang just makes me want to hear an Autechre produced hip hop album even more. We've talked about the missing link between Oversteps and XI before, and I think you're right when last episode you said it was more of a clean break than a logical transition from what came before. However, it's interesting to point out that this came out just a few months after Move of 10 and Skull Snap about a year after this. It seems like they made their about face from melodic, generative, melodic ambient. Use the word melodic twice there, into hip-hop pretty quickly. The remix of Skang itself is super cool, uncomfortable, dark, and dub. I have nothing brilliant to say about it. I'm sure you're going to get a deluge of fanboying about it anyway. That's true. And also, listener Eric said, another excellent hip-hop remix with vocal, far more minimal in production than Tried by 12, but the subtlety works really well, in my opinion. I love it. So all of our listeners disagree with you, Dan.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's because this is one of the most easy to find Autechre remixes. Like it's on Spotify and stuff. So I'll say it's just everybody's heard it. more than me being wrong.
I think it bangs. But what's your number six?
Yeah, number six for me, Eco Bondage Ending AE Remix, which is a remix of Eco Bondage from Merzbow's 1987 album of the same name, released on a 1997 remix album called Scumtron, which I love. this one's cool. You know, I didn't know this one before, but, you know, when I saw it coming up in the list, I was pretty excited, you know. Of course, I'm familiar with Merzbow. And I thought, like, oh man, you know, Atek are playing with, you know, this realm of noise is going to be so great, especially like Merzbow's done. He's done a lot of great, collaborations. I mean, he's worked with Sun. Just they all just left me, but he's got oh, Boris is the ones I was really trying to think of, you know, and I admire some of Merzbow's stuff. I like a few of his records, but you know, more often than not, it's the idea that's better than the you know, the actually listening to it. But I think like in these collaborations is when like you can see what he brings to the table and you know why you know, noise is cool and why he's like a, you know, a famous noise artist. And so, you know, so I was pretty looking forward to this and, you know, it was different than I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought Atek would really like embrace the noise and stuff, but they really like, almost sort of rein it in at times, you know, like they've taken like his, you know, squelching and stuff and they like, use it as like, I don't know, like the sample of you know, for a synth or something, and it, you know, it's always sort of like kind of has like that feeling like it's threatening to fully, you know, feedback or whatever, but it, you know, it never actually does it, and even like the way the song begins, it does that sort of Saul delay thing I was talking about earlier again, you know, and then that comes up throughout the song, but again, it like never fully. It never gets like as wild as it would get on, you know, a typical noise record or, you know, a Merzbow record. And I just thought that was like such a innovative way to like look at it. You know, I feel like everybody else, you know, Boris, you know, all those people I mentioned, like they sort of always embrace that noise and like use it as noise, you know, in the context of their other music, but to do the opposite and sort of like take that noise and like form it to be, you know, regular music, I just think that it's really impressive and a cool like idea.
Yeah, I think it's the same. It's very similar to their approach on 1647, I think, which is like when the original is pretty crazy, like the most shocking thing you could do would be to make it not crazy.
Exactly.
Like, reminds me of, you know, God rest his soul, Norm Macdonald, rest in peace. But that famous roast appearance where it was like, what's the most shocking thing you could do at a roast? Like tell clean, like dad jokes, basically. they kind of have the same approach sometimes. And, you know, this isn't like the craziest Merzbow original. I think it's like, it's not like the normal noise wall thing.
No, yeah,
it's kind of like
it's more
metallic scraping and kind of machinery set, like a garbage disposal running or something. But yeah, you're right. They turn it into like a pretty slamming beat. I mean, the beat still kind of has this kind of like stuttering and like shifting, like never staying quite the same as the very long track goes on, almost 12 minutes, I think. So very like AE, maybe even a little bit preview. I mean, this came out in 1997. It's maybe even like a little bit more like EP7 or something like 1999 era. But yeah, they just like kind of use the noise as kind of melodic texture. And then it has this really great like beatless outro, but all the different loops are forming like kind of a rhythm. And it becomes like a very like listenable ambient experience from what was originally like metallic scraping. I find that very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really, I almost makes me want like a you know, Hafler Trio sign or kind of record like with Merzbow, you know, or something.
Yeah,
like it didn't go the way I expected, and the way it went was better than what I wanted, you know.
Yeah. Well, listener Tom named it his 16th favorite AE remix. Listener Tom coming up a lot here. Like I said, he seems to have really similar taste to us, but he wrote, at the wilder end of Beats Pad's melody with a drawn-out ending that works for me. And listener Steve wrote, the remix of Merzbow's Eco Bondage is interesting. It sounds nothing like Merzbow, which is a shame. I would have loved to hear a more honest Merzbow-Autechre split. Did you come away with that feeling at all?
No, I mean, I think that's what I came into it wanting. And then, you know, I got something different and learned, you know, that was probably better, you know, like that's, you know, you can go in a restaurant and you want a hamburger and then it's a fancy place. So they don't have hamburgers and you gotta, you know, get something else. It was kind of like that. That was not a great analogy.
Well, I will move on to my number six, which is Hypnotize, Autechre Remix. It's a remix of the B-side from Lexus's 1996 single Criminal Element/Hypnotize. Both tracks got remixed for a 1997 single called Criminal Element's Clute Remix/Hypnotize, Autechre Remix. I picked this one because... Well, not because, you know, I checked out the original a lot later, but the original is a pretty slamming, borderline generic drum and bass track. Like, the beat is really standard. There are nice touches of, I think, like acid zaps and this kind of like crystal glittering sound at points, like nice textures on here, but the beat is a little standard. And it's another example where they just like kind of totally glitched it out, like twisted it. The thing is, like, the beat is never staying still. It's just always getting warped and like digitally destroyed in different ways. There's some like really nice sort of woozy pads that come in. I mean, really reaches like Confield levels, not just of insanity, but of that kind of oozing, what's the word I want? The opposite of artificial, synthetic, like kind of, no, that's not the word I want either. What is it?
Natural?
Organic.
Yeah.
Organic. There it is. Organic. You know, those like beats on Confield that like, they feel like they're living things, even though there's such like icy digital sounds, like they feel like they're growing and oozing and moving. Mm-hmm. I felt that here. I mean, I feel like you can never forget that it's kind of like, you can hear that there's a generic drum and bass track down in there. But again, it's a good example of like, I don't think they give much of a shit about the original song. They were just kind of playing. And remember, this is like 1997. So they're like playing with like weird experimental approaches that I think they would only really get into with Confield like years later.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it does sort of look forward to Confield and whatnot. It's definitely one that does not stay still, you know, it can be taxing, in sort of a good way. You know, I can sort of like tell, you know, this is when I didn't listen to the original, you know, until the end basically. You know, I could sort of like tell what was underneath, you know, I sort of like assumed it was going to be that generic, right, you know, kind of techno track. And they do a good job of like turning that on its head, in a way that like, you know, like you said with that palm mute, it's like almost like making fun of it. You know, I feel like that. It's like they take like what's sort of a lame thing and just never let it sit still, never let it like stagnate.
Yeah, and then they're like exaggerating drum and bass.
Yeah, basically. Exactly. And then how there's just constantly like effects being like at like the flange kind of comes and goes, you know, it's just sort of like always like morphing and moving and they're like giving life to this like, you know, drum and bass thing that like when not done well, sort of like, even though it has energy, is like just so, you know, kind of soulless, lifeless.
Yeah Well, listener Steve recommended this one as a, quote, particularly notable remix. And listener Tom called it his 12th favorite remix and wrote, one of the best juxtapositions of the frantic and the calm. I feel like that's exactly what I like about it. I mentioned those kind of woozy pads, and it just feels like so still and calm underneath, like, absolute insanity. I think it makes such a cool, like, overall experience. But we'll keep it moving. What is your number five?
Yeah, this is the one where I fucked up, and I've already talked about it before, but I completely forgot. So it's Autechre Play Weisensee against I'm Gluck, original composition by Noy. It's a mashup of the tracks Weisensee and I'm Gluck by Noy from their 1972 self-titled classic record. This was first released on the 1998 tribute album, A Homage to Noy, and then released on Autechre's 1999 promo EP Split Remix. I picked this one. This is like it skirts the line of, is this a remix? Is this a cover song? What, you know, it's hard to tell, like, if parts of it are just sampled or remade or whatnot. But I mean, this is a song that, I mean, both of these songs, Vizacy and I'm Gluck, you know, I knew the originals before I had ever heard the Ottaker versions. And they just do such a cool job of, you know, whatever they've done here, remixing or just kind of covering it. I mean, I love krautrock, and I love especially the percussion of krautrock and just that, you know, that motoric beat, and it just sounds so cool done with you know, electronic instruments like Ottaker uses and stuff. And so it's just, it's, if this wasn't just a straight, you know, sort of cover or anything, like if this is just a song, you know, maybe not even by Ottaker, just, you know, but by an electronic band, I think it would be like something I really, really fall in love with. And honestly, the reason I put it only at number 5 here on my list is because I think it loses a little creativity points in that it is kind of a cover.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because this is in the mentioned in the Wire article, and it's in the section, the remix is hyper reality. And they kind of note that it feels like they've just like redone the track, but with digital instruments, possibly, yeah. Because it does sound like too high def or something to be fully the original. Although I do think that they layer, you know, that like Im Gluck track is like more of a sound,
it's like
collage
wave,
type thing.
Like waves hitting like a boat or something, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of layered into the texture over what was essentially the beat from Vice and C, but is not exactly the same. Like, it really does kind of feel more like a cover. And, you know, The Wire makes this interesting comment that basically around this time, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but around this time, you had like a lot of really cringy, you know, attempts to kind of like combine rock and electronic, yeah. You know, like, and what this sort of does is almost, I don't know, do that better, I think the article is trying to say. It like, it actually draws attention to the common threads between rock and electronic music. I mean, obviously, like, Neu and krautrock is a huge influence on electronic music. Like, there is a connection somewhere there. Obviously, electronics are a big part of, like, you know, Kraftwerk and other krautrock groups. But there is a connection point there. And it's, like, in a non-corny way, because they're sort of recreating it in a more electronic or hyper reality context, as the article says, they actually draw attention to that, like, succeed where almost the entire 90s failed.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I it probably helps that they, you know, cover or whatever the two of the people that are, you know, responsible for you know, electronic music. But yeah, definitely. I mean, they do it in such a masterful way. And I think the word The Wire uses, like, hyper reality is like such a good you know, word for it. They just really, I don't know, it's so strange because you're right, like, they tried that so much in the 90s. I feel like that was another thing that was big, was like the tribute album. You know, and so it was always like doing that kind of thing, like either, you know, having a rapper do an old rock song or you know, something like that, and it just always ends bad, or almost always ends badly. But yeah, I mean, just like this ability of Ottaker to like see what in the song like would work, you know. I mean even just using like the I'm Gluck, like, you know, sounds as like this texture and stuff, makes, you know, that's such a smart move, you know, like to know that, like, as an electronic song, like, it needs this sort of like texture and feel behind it, and then to just, like, you know, use another piece from that same artist, you know, is you know, really smart, I think.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that artists in the 90s saw these two worlds as different, and so they thought it was kind of like neat to mash them together. But really, they don't have to be different. And yeah. I think Ottaker's like track here really reveals that. Now, I didn't pick it because we did talk about it earlier, as you mentioned. So I thought it was off limits. But I'll say that if it was you know, up for grabs, it would probably be on my list. I think, I don't even think I appreciated it enough the first time we talked about it. You can go back to that episode on Split Remix 12 if you want to hear more thoughts about it. But yeah, I think it's just such a fantastic group. And on that similar note, we didn't get any listener emails about it, probably because the listeners, unlike you, also understood that it was off limits. But
I can't remember every damn episode we've done. I think last episode I was talking about how I couldn't remember something somebody asked me. I can't remember. We've done too many. It's almost been a year since we started this, actually.
Yeah, sure,
I think
yeah.
it's like 1 week from today. It'll be a year.
Wow.
So, I can't remember that. I don't even remember what I said. Well, I might have said it sucked before. Who knows?
Yeah, you might have. Who knows? Yeah. All right. Well, I'll move on to my number five, which is called Psionic $6 Million Mix Oscar Goldman's Bonus. It's a remix of Psionics from Beaumont Hanance, also probably butchering that name, 1993. Tastes and Textures EP Volume 1. It was released on a 1995 remix EP called Psionics. I picked it because I guess I'll say that the original is a pretty slamming, like kind of bubbly acid techno track. There's some nice like shredded whooshes at different points. It's a little standard, but I do kind of like the attention to detail there. And this kind of turns it into like a very slow and heavy, like kind of lumbering, big low end thing. Lots of like just kind of gliding, sustained strings and stuff like that. And then adds this kind of, or maybe even like takes from the original track and just slows it way down. I don't know. But like this kind of metallic, like bouncy riff, like it feels like this kind of, it's got this kind of like snake-like groove, like slow voodoo groove through the whole thing. It is such a transfixing sound. It's very tri-rep, honestly, and it makes me kind of appreciate that, like, a lot of the sounds on tri-rep may have like origins in, I mean, they sound so futuristic, but may have origins in acid. It's just like if you slow that down, you like kind of hear the like metal and the sparks and the, you know, like glitchiness of it if you slow it down enough. And it's just like an incredible act of sound design and just overall arrangement. I know this is also on your list. Maybe you want to save the number, or maybe it's close by, but what do you think about it?
Is this the only song that we have that crosses over?
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah.
I'll
save the number, but I like this one a whole lot. It's just super interesting. I think, like what you said, that snake-like groove is just, I don't know, it's just so like hypnotizing and great. And I think you're right too. It does like sort of have you know, sights on Tri-Repete, which, yeah, of course I love. And so it really does sort of feel like a sneak peek at what's coming up. And it's just an all-around excellent track.
Yeah, really a stunner. It's clear that it was one of our listeners' favorites as well. Got a lot of emails about this one. Listener Steve called it one of his favorite remixes. Listener Tom called it his ninth favorite remix and said this wouldn't be out of place on the Garbage EP. Listener Darren named it his favorite AE remix ever. And listener Joe wrote, one of the best remixes I've heard so far is their remix of Beaumont Hanance's Psionics. Hanance is one of the forgotten greats from the early era, and the sound design they were able to create on this track in 95 is pretty mind-blowing. There are a bunch of great versions and mixes of this song, but I love how minimalistic this one is and how well it uses empty space so that all of the individual elements are able to breathe. I especially love the ending. It seems like the track could easily have ended in a pretty stereotypical way at about 7 minutes, but instead we get this increasingly dark and frantic ending that finally just dissolves into static, chiastic style, although if it were truly chiastic style, the static would have lasted another 4 minutes. It's so cleverly composed, beautiful, and engaging the whole way through. Really couldn't have said it better myself. So what is your number four?
Let me get back on the right page here. number four for me is A Jail of Freedom. Jail Till Slee is the secondary title, a remix of Jail of Freedom's Soft Ballets, 1995 album Form, released on a 1995 remix album called Forms, Remix for Ordinary People. This one I picked, again, I love the percussion here. These drums, they're just like so crushed and crunchy. And it's layered over this like, I don't know, really sort of ambient soundscape sounding thing. It's Autechre are so great with their use of not only percussion in the patterns, but also just the way to distort and crush and destroy it while still leaving it somewhat intact.
Yeah, I really like this one a lot. It would be one of my honorable mentions. It like very nearly made my list. You know, the original, I'm going to sound like a huge pleb here, but the original is a genre I don't like at all, which is like an industrial pop kind of thing. And I say I'm going to sound like a pleb because I'm sure there's better examples of this, but it reminds me of like Nine Inch Nails, like Pretty Hate Machine, kind of that that style. I really hate that shit. And it's got like kind of cringy, like Scott Walker impression vocals over the top, you know, and like really distorted, like speaking, over like different parts of the track. I mean, very cringy to me. Hope I'm not offending anybody, but here I feel like they barely use anything of the original track. Although I think you can hear that kind of like original synth, like pulse kind of popping in here and there. And what becomes the focus is like this huge kind of tom roll of a beat that you mentioned that is just like mind-boggling. Like just the sheer sound of this thing is just so incredibly good. There are like lots of sharp blasts of static, like a weird, I think it's later in the track, but you get kind of like a metallic sounding like single bass string. It might even be like a MIDI bass, which would be more typical of that kind of like late 80s industrial rock kind of thing. But just a single note, like bass solo or something. And it's just kind of rolling on its own for a second. And then it kind of ends up joining like all these shredded sounds and just swelling drones, joining that incredible beat. It's another one of those tracks. It just kind of like, it's pretty simple how it just kind of builds up, keeps adding elements with the occasional breakdown right in the right spot. But the sheer sound of it, I just find so transfixing.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, listener Tom named this his third favorite AE remix and said it's similar in mood to the Dalkin remix, which is his second favorite. I think we talked about that earlier, but a bit less brooding and more funky. Listener Darren named it his second favorite AE remix ever. Listener Eric said, great heavy beat, beautiful atmospheric synth washes, and I love how it builds and develops over its runtime. Very dynamic track. I think that's exactly the things that I love about it. I'll move on to my number four, which is Two Bass Hit AE Mix. It's a remix of a track called Two Bass Hit Dub from Squarepusher's 1999 mini album Budokan Mindphone, but released on Squarepusher's 1999 EP Maximum Priest. This one is so weird, I think. Like, it's actually, I think The Wire includes it on their section of the remix as obliteration.
Yeah.
This is one of those examples. And the original is like one of the sillier Squarepusher tracks I've heard, where it's like a simple kind of clack beat underneath, maybe some dub sound effects, but just like a really almost like a metronome running. And then there's like a fat slap bass duel running over the top, like as if Primus and like the bassist from Fish were like having a bass off or something. It's like the silliest, goofiest thing. And then here what they do is they take that very minimal beat and add like a huge big bass thud to it, like filled in all the bottom that was missing from the original. They just destroy all of the bass soloing. They turn it into like totally, like just basically digital artifacts. Like, it is so screwed up. And it's just like this weird, like springy digitized noise, like off to the sides. And what you're really hearing is this very minimal, like kind of clicking, thudding, kind of a beat. It honestly remind me a lot of LX6 Onset off of LSEC. And you know, it was more minimal than that, but it still had that same kind of like, we just have this kind of plodding like beat, and then we get all this kind of wet gurgly sound and like more clicks and stuff like kind of added in. It's just like all texture. I just find it very, very, very good.
This one, another one I don't really love.
Oh, wow.
I don't like the original at all. For the things you mentioned, the whole bass solo thing. I just the Autechre version, it's neat. I think they fix it up. They definitely make it much, much, much better. It's just one that never really like really, it's never stuck in my memory. It was always like kind of those ones that just completely passed over until I was, you know, forced to, you know, kind of focus in on it for whatever reason. Also, isn't there's a Miles Davis song called Two Bass Hit? It doesn't have anything to do with that. Yeah, it's on Milestones. I don't know if it has anything to do with that.
It's clear that Square Pusher like idolizes fusion era Miles Davis, so I would definitely believe it. But yeah, I don't know. I just find it's like a very forward thinking track from 1999, and it sounds like LSEC. Like I think that's what made it so exciting for me. I should mention in the 2013 Ask Autech or Anything, the guys were asked, how was it like doing the Square Pusher remix? Did he like it? Sean replied, think so. I mean, to be honest, I reckon it could have been better. I do it really differently now. Fucking love the original. He has to be trolling because the original sucks.
I mean, maybe they're friends or something. You wouldn't want to say your friend's song was awful.
I really feel like they're taking the piss, as the Brits would say there. But what is your number three?
Number three for me is Speech 3. Conoid okay. Tone Reformed by Autechre is a remix of Conoid Tone from the Higher Intelligence Agency's 1993 album Colorform, released on a 1994 remix EP called Reform. This one is spooky, and that's why I love it. It's some real spooky stuff. In fact, I'll go ahead and read what listener Tom said here. He said it's his 15th favorite AE remix and described it as a slightly nightmarish take on chill out music, which I think really sums it up. It has this, like, you know, it's a real like laid back, you know, sort of electronic song, but then there's just this like evil synth building up the whole time. And it is just in full on spook mode, perfect for your Halloween playlist, I think. Love it. You know, Autechre doesn't get incredibly spooky too often, but when they do it, they do it well, and I think this is one of the best examples.
Yeah, I do like this one. You know, it's funny because Higher Intelligence Agency, I don't know much about them other than that they made one of my least favorite tracks from Artificial Intelligence 2. And the original here is also not something I like at all. I find it, just like their contribution to that compilation, very generic IDM, you know, capital IDM style, like this kind of spacey ambient, like I don't even know how to describe it other than IDM. And Autechre turn into something, yeah, very spooky, like very, like they're using like kind of acid sounds to make like ambient drone or like dark drone or something, and just big swelling sounds, some zaps in there. And for me, my favorite part, this kind of start stop, like lumbering beat, it seems to kind of like pick up steam each rotation and then gets interrupted by these kind of rolling clacks and then starts back up again. Of course, I thought you might not like this part of the track. I wonder what you think, but there is like this highly spooky, like, what did you say? Like blown out vocal sample running over the top of it. That didn't bother you as a known hater of vocal samples?
I do hate the vocal samples, but I give it a pass on this one. You know, you can use them sparingly. You know, every now and then you can get away with it. I think it blends well enough into the background. You know, it doesn't become like the focus of the song.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like, also I really like when you listen to it in headphones, it like echoes from like side to side, you know, like bounces, that's a cool move. I think it goes well with the spookiness. It easily could have been corny, but I think they handled using it well enough that I'm gonna let it pass this time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll move on to my number three, which is One Belm Autechre Mix 2. Maybe is what it's called. Like, it might be called that. This one is pretty confusing. This track appeared on Sylvania's 1996 remix album Delay Timbre, but I cannot for the life of me figure out what it's actually remixing. On top of that, there's another remix on the Lexier compilation called One Belm Autechre Mix, this being Mix 2, but I cannot find any information for that apparently first remix. I sort of suspect it's like mistitled, that first one on Lexier, but this Mix 2, it's on streaming and stuff like that. So this is clearly the real Sylvania remix, though more confusion on the original version. It's weirdly got like 3 minutes of almost silence at the end, which has been cut from the Lexier version. So it's like a neat and tidy 8 minutes or whatever here. But messy origins, can't compare it to the original because I can't find it. It's also like everything's in Spanish, so I can't figure out what the hell is going on here. But a very interesting track to me. I wanted to bring up, you remember we complained about Sophie's Bip remix, Autechre's remix of Sophie's Bip, because we felt like they kind of missed the point of the original track. The original track was like all potential energy. It was like a club banger, but just no drop. And it's all potential. And it's like even more exciting for that reason. And then Autechre turned it into this like slow lumbering beast. And it seemed to kind of rob the thing of its magic. Well, One Belm is kind of that same soapy magic from the original Bip. It sounds like it's going to be almost a generic like early 90s club banger. It's got these kind of like splashes of chords that are kind of echoing in like a rhythmic way. And it sounds like it's going to blow at any moment. Like you would hear that sound and you would know, like, it's 1991. I better run my ass to the dance floor. Like they're playing a banger, you know? And then it just never drops. It just remains like everything is really high. There's lots of like harsh kind of clipping hi-hats and stuff. Those echoing chords sometimes get like so echoey that they are like turning into white noise because they're really filtered like high. And it just, it's joined by like this big tom, but it feels like something very important is missing from the whole track. Like maybe the entire middle or something is missing from the track because you just have these like grating highs, this booming tom, which somehow does not sound like a kick. It does not serve as the kick at all. And it's like a little irregular, like surprising every time it hits. And it just kind of feels like a club banger that has been turned inside out. I love it.
This one, you know, obviously isn't on my list. It's good. I like it. I don't love it. It does definitely like, it feels like kind of empty without there's sort of no low end. And
yeah,
I get what you're saying. And I think that is a good take on it. I didn't really think of it that way, earlier. It just sort of felt like, a little empty, you know, as I was listening in on it. But yeah. I mean, I think it's a good pick.
See, that's what I loved about it was the emptiness. Like it's so strange, but you still feel all that energy in it, like all that banger energy. Mm-hmm. I find it really, really cool. And I should mention a listener, Darren, agreed to me sort of put it at number 10 on his own top 10 AE remixes. So what is your number two?
Yeah, number two for me, I put SKF 10047. This is not technically a remix. It's a composition by Japanese industrial rock group Shaft that was mixed by Autechre for the album Switchblade from 1994. I did not know any of that until started putting this episode together. I just sort of thought it was a song remixed by Autechre. It sounds pretty Autechre-y. It's the first song on at least the version of this Lexier that I have, and I it just was like a real good kickoff to it, just like the way that opens up, and it's just got this like real crunchy industrial, but not that lame, you know, sort of Nine Inch Nails thing you were talking about before. It's a really good song. I mean, in fact, the now that I know it's from this other group, basically, I would like to hear them. I don't know. It like really like sort of mixes up like that kind of b-boy, feeling. Like the percussion in it is. But you know, kind of, you know, that but then it's using these noises that are much more industrial, metallic, like kind of real world like sort of sounds, meaning like not instruments, you know, like things around your house or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, it could be more of a collaboration than just a mixing job.
It feels like it. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't feel out of place. Like especially starting the Lexier compilation, it'd be really weird if it didn't sound anything like Autechre off the bat. I gotta admit though, this is the one on your list that I would put in my hate column. Personally, I find it very grating. I mean, I agree with you 100% that it's basically like the sound palette of industrial used for something a little bit more like b-boyish, a little bit more you know, IDM, for lack of a better term, which is cool, but that sound palette, I just can't stand it. Like, everything is so grating. Everything is so loud. And also this track is just like mixed very, very loud. It's like awkward on the Lexier compilation. It's like a lot louder, I think, than anything else. But, and I can't, you know, ding it for that. But it's just like the kick is like really pummeling. There are these like cymbals, like just really harsh and really high, just like rattling over the whole thing. I don't know. Everything is just like slamming all the time. It is like relentlessly loud. I feel like I hear a brass section. I don't think it's really there, but like that's the kind of vibe you get from it. Like the kind of brass section that's on like, God, the original band is like Tonight, but on Kanye's Blood on the Leaves or something, like that big and booming. I just feel like it's 8 minutes of like relentless slamming. It like gives me a headache.
I like it. You know, that I know what cymbal you're talking about. It's like that like the bell on a ride cymbal. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. It's like something you don't hear. I don't know. Like when you hear, like, especially in the 90s in a electronic record, when you hear that sort of like ride bell, it's normally you know, like the old Casio or something, and it sounds so so corny and awful. And I think like it's. I don't know. It's just such an interesting like thing to use and use like well and not have it sound like shit, you know, because I think it's so loud and like it becomes like distorted, you know, just like from volume.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, listener Steve, I think, agrees with you. He wrote in to say, I wanted to write in and profess my love for SKF-10047, which may have been the first track by Autechre I ever heard. It was released on the Japanese-only Shaft album Switchblade. At the time I heard it, 1996, I was really into industrial, especially the band Pig, and Shaft was a side project of members of Bucktick, Soft Ballet, and Pig. This album also has remixes by Coil and Meat Beat Manifesto. I recommend the entire album. I still can't get over that 15-year-old me mailed $100 in cash to Pig's manager in Japan so he could send me this and a couple other CDs that were impossible to find in the U.S. Though the credits show that one of the members of Shaft composed and arranged it, I strongly suspect it is not a remix and is simply a track submitted by Autechre for the project. That's intriguing. This was first released in 1994, and SKF almost sounds like it could have fit on Anvil Vapor, released in 1995. It's very much a progression from Amber, but the style is not quite to where Autechre reached with Anvil Vapor. I love the percussion, and the track is very moody with a short, haunting melody repeated throughout. Listener Mike also wrote in to recommend it as one of his favorites. So I just get the feeling that I do not like industrial. Like, this is one failing of mine. I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of stuff, but I just do not like industrial.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of it, but I do enjoy like some, you know, like Throbbing Gristle and stuff. Like, I enjoy like enough of it, and I always sort of like enjoy the sound. Like, I enjoy the sounds of it, but it's always,
I hate the sounds. But I don't know what is wrong with me, but I cannot like it.
I guess I understand that, but it's always like almost every industrial band or anything that I hear, it's usually like they lose me in the vocals. It's a lot of bad vocal work in what I've heard. So I wouldn't say I'm like a big fan of industrial, but I do like, I don't know. I like the idea of, you know, those sort of real world sounds. It just like, who wrote the Futurist? I think it's Luigi Russo, if I'm right. You know, wrote about like this treaty on like noise and stuff, and it's it like really just, I think, sort of describes like what becomes industrial, and it's I don't know. I always find that super interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like I'm listening to like this track, for example, and it's just so harsh and grating, and I just feel like, what did I do to piss you off? Like, why are you putting this in my ears? It's like, when I listen to any industrial, I feel that way. I know this is a personal thing, but I'm going to my number two, which is Laritu Gibber Mix. This one might be breaking the rules a little bit. It might not even be a remix. It's basically just a Guestcom track, one of those Guestcom tracks that sort of claims to be a remix of something that was never released, but it appeared on Alternative Frequencies 3, a 1998 compilation released by Worm Interface. So you know, just like a lot of the stuff on This and That, I don't think I really believe this is a remix, and it's not even Autechre, it's Guestcom, so who knows who's even involved, but basically, it's on the Lax Year compilation, and I fell in love with it before I knew any of this shit, so I just decided to put it on my list. I basically think this is like one of the best Guestcom tracks, honestly, that I've heard. It's kind of another example of that kind of classic AE approach in the 90s of like zeroing in on some interesting sound and building a track around it. And this time it's kind of this weird metallic time stretched thing. It's all like garbled and warped and like getting twisted into all kinds of like bizarre shapes, but remaining very melodic, like very pretty and just like alluring, like transfixing the whole time. Like that sound, I just am transfixed by like a moth to a light, you know what I mean? And underneath is like a pretty nice like kind of hip-hop groove. You know how a lot of Guestcom like leans heavy into the traditional kind of hip-hop, and it's got a very deep, like almost trappy kind of low end, like really deep, really big boom, but just keeps like this kind of chill hip-hop vibe and just that sound. I think at some point like this kind of sped up like harp pluck thing, like really, really fast, joins in, and you just get a lot of swirling hypnotizing melodies, all kind of verging on just sound, just noise, mm-hmm. you know, making melodies. Do you like this one anywhere as much as I did?
I do like this one. This is one another one of my favorites from your list. It's one that, you know, if I hadn't already locked mine down, I could see it creeping into mine. It is really cool. I like that hip hop, you know, feel with those that synth is like always like, I don't know, it feels like it's just gonna like disintegrate completely or something. Like it feels like it's almost like recorded too hot or something, where like parts are missing or something, but you know, in like such an expertly done sort of way. This is probably my favorite from your list. Gold, you know, I like both of them. They're ones that could have snuck in.
This was almost my number one, but I felt like on the off chance it's not really a remix, I better not make it number one. you know, on that note, listener Steve wrote in, he included it on his list of Guestcom comp tracks that we should really try to cover. I think he was smarter than me or recognized it's not really a remix, but he wrote, it's more like a cut-up hip-hop experiment like a lot of Guestcom is. It's not a bad track. I quite like the cheerful melody dancing around the beat. So it sounds like I like it a lot more, or maybe both of us like it a lot more than Steve, but I did want to read that because, I don't know, I want to alert more people to this track. I think it's really, really a special Guestcom track. Now, we are on to your number one.
Yeah, it's the one we already talked about, which really takes the steam out of my sails.
I didn't even put it together. Wow. I mean, any extra thoughts on it? I guess we should
see
what it is.
Yeah.
Psionics.
Yeah, Psionics, a Psy Million Dollar Mix Oscar Goldman's bonus, if you want to read the whole thing. I don't really have anything to add. You know, we went through it pretty you know, thoroughly, I think, already. But my number one. So thanks for fucking that up.
Wow. Well, my number one is called Like a Motorway, Skin Up, You're Already Dead. It is a remix of Like a Motorway from Saint Etienne's 1994 album Tiger Bay, released on a 1994 remix EP called Like a Motorway. You know, the original of this track is like a very energetic synth pop track with very dreamy vocals. I get the vibe from some of our listeners who wrote in. This seems to also be a very popular one, that this was a popular song. Maybe it was more popular in Europe than here. Or maybe I just somehow missed it entirely. I've never heard it before, but it seems like a nice enough kind of synth pop track. And what Autechre does with it is like nothing short of phenomenal. They basically just use a single word, the word skin, sort of slow it down and just make it sound very like disembodied, very haunted, and it's just repeating over the top. This is, you know, 1994 after all, and I think it just sounds like, it sounds very Amber to me, and it sounds like as good as the stuff on Amber to me, if I'm being honest. It's like just a very Amber kind of beat with like scrapes, kind of very low bitrate, like whooshes, and like a lot of echo and delay on like these clacks and things like that. We get really big, like lush synth pads, choir effect, I think, on some of the synths. Some really like dreamy synth tone melodies, kind of like in a very searching, I sort of associate this with the Amber era, like a very searching, almost played kind of way. It's not like such a simple loop. It's like very, very melodic, but very, very complex and runs through lots of different notes. You know, I don't really hear the original at all, but I do sort of suspect that maybe some of the drones mixed into this wash are like really, really time-stretched samples, like time-stretched to hell samples of her vocals just layered in there, which adds to that kind of like weird, like synthetic, you know, mixed with organic kind of feel of this track. And then I think the most incredible thing happens. We get this long kind of ambient passage, like very long. And then you start to hear, basically it's like going through a high pass filter or something. It's like you start to hear the original track buried in the ambient drone, and you start to feel like this is a remix of a song, and they are now remixing their remix of that song. Like it becomes part of a sound collage, like an ambient sound collage, the song that we started with. And then and it lasts like that for several minutes before just beautifully returning to like becoming the main focus, like becoming the song again. And just such a lush, like Amber quality groove. I adore it.
Yeah, this is a good one. I agree. It does have like an Amber quality to it. I really like the reverb. It's just like so big and stuff. And that the one synth like does like sort of that Leslie speaker spinning sound in your headphones, which is a cool effect. I mean, it'll come as no shock, but the sample really kind of gets on my nerves. I couldn't tell that she was saying skin. I thought she was saying like it's okay or something, or it's good. It's anything, good. It's good.
I just feel like because the word skin is in the title, like it's got to be that.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. It just I don't know. It just like sort of gets annoying, and then I'm trying to figure out what she's saying the whole time, and it just distracts my attention, which is maybe my own fault. But yeah, I mean, I it's good. It I wouldn't put it on my list, but it was, you know, it didn't make the hit. The hate list for sure.
Well, again, this seems like a pretty popular one. Listener Tom wrote in, named it his 17th favorite AU remix, and wrote this and the Spangle remix are the only ones where I knew the original first. The remix here is not as good as the original, but quite chill anyway. Listener Darren named it his 6th favorite AE remix. Listener Joe wrote, this is one of the remix tracks I could listen to 1,000 times on its own without any context whatsoever from the original. The original song is a good early 90s synth pop track, but the remix is one of my absolute favorite tracks from the pre-Tri-Rep era. It's fascinating to me that this came out in May 1994, and the Bucktick Iconoclasm remix, another one of Joe's favorites that didn't make either of our lists, came out just 3 months later that August. The Like a Motorway remix sounds like a final perfection of the sound they had mastered over the course of Inky and Obula and Amber, whereas Iconoclasm sounds like a very early work in the new style they were still developing for Tri-Rep. Skin Up is so insanely catchy, and the skin gets stuck in my head so easily. I love how they've adapted the chord progression in the beginning into something completely new. It once again doesn't seem like they're particularly interested in preserving the original feeling of the song, but in deconstructing it to a molecular level and using certain elements to synthesize something completely new from the ground up. It's definitely a track of this era, but nothing sounds dated in any way, neither the synths nor the percussion. The sound design is fantastic, and I especially love how they processed the drums. So me and Joe on the same page with that one. And those are our lists. I mean, I guess we talked about some honorable mentions already. We talked about, you know, how some of the stuff we've talked about in the past, like particularly some of those Guestcom remixes, probably would have made it on this list if we were counting them. So take it with a grain of salt. So I think we can start wrapping up by returning to some of the big picture questions we started with. You know, even though we might have talked about it enough as we were talking about our remixes, and two, we'll probably have more to say about it when we talk about some of our listeners' favorite remixes next time. But do you have any new insights into how Autechre seems to approach remixing the work of another artist in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Wire article really, you know, opened my eyes to it, you know, how there's these sort of like different categories and types of remix. You know, I just sort of always thought of it as in that one simple way of like, you know, taking somebody else's sound palette, whatever, and then, you know, kind of changing it to fit something in your style. But, like, I mean, still being pretty well tethered to that original. And, you know, Itaker really, you know, breaks that a lot of times. You know, they break that tether. Sometimes they keep it. Sometimes they keep it to a fault, you know, like with that Earth one we talked about and stuff. But, you know, it was definitely more broad than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with that. But I think what you want, and like what the Wire article kind of claims, and what some of our, like the person who compiled the Laxier compilation claims, and some of our listeners seem to claim, is that, you know, you want like the remix work to like show you some new thing, like reveal some new side of Autechre that we never saw before. And having done this experiment, I think the unfortunate truth is that it doesn't really. Like, a lot of the remixes, I think, show us like kind of where they were at. And I think it's because they don't seem to have much respect for the material they're remixing. I think maybe the Noi one is like a little reverential.
Yeah.
I feel kind of like a respect for Noi in that one. But almost everything else, I do not feel that. I feel like they couldn't give less of a shit about it. And they're just doing whatever they wanted to do anyway, which means, like with like a motorway, you just get more of their approach on Amber, right? Or like with Hypnotize or something, you get like a little insight into what they were cooking up for Confield, you know, a couple of years early. And so it doesn't, the remixes do not, I think, really reveal like a missing side of Autechre, like the freewheeling side of Autechre. That's what the Wire article is all about. Like, oh, when without the constraints, you know, it's just for cash anyway. So it kind of frees them up to have a little fun. I don't think you see any, I just think you see a little bit more mid-90s Autechre, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's a decent point.
Well, I want to ask you this question from listener Joe, who writes, "The more I've delved into the remixes, the more I realize how much I've been missing. Normally, I wouldn't have much interest in a band. I like remixing other people's work, unless I was already interested in both groups, as many remixes turn out to be pretty pointless cash grabs to pad out bonus editions and 12 inches, or an attempt to make a song more club-friendly, not ear-friendly, unfortunately. Autechre, though, take people's works and adapt them into something completely new, different, and interesting. I'm almost more fascinated with their remixes at this point than their main discography, not just because I've never heard it before, but because Autechre are usually so insular with their process. It's incredibly fun to hear how they interact with others' music and the way they are able to incorporate elements into their own tracks. Almost all the remixes I have heard stand well on their own without me feeling the burning need to seek out the originals. And when I do, it's usually out of curiosity to hear what, if anything, sounds similar in any way." So what do you think about that? I mean, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but do you agree that like AE's remixes are usually so transformative or removed from the original that it's really not even necessary to check out the original?
You know, I think, yeah, I mean, yes, because like I said at the start of this podcast and stuff was, you know, I really never care about remixes. You know, I kind of like what Joe said, I basically have to like both of the artists to care enough, you know, about it, to check it out. But here, you know, listening to this whole compilation, I mean, literally until the last minute of doing this, I was pretty much completely divorced from the originals, you know, so I was looking at it just basically as if they were just Autechre songs, and it was, you know, for the most part, completely enjoyable, whereas I think, you know, some other artists that maybe stick so closely to the original or whatnot, a compilation of all the remixes might just sound like a mess, you know, because as the remix in different styles and stuff, like, you know, just keep shifting through. Whereas like Autechre, I mean, this did just sort of feel like missing 90s Autechre songs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel that way. I feel like, you know, it was sometimes interesting to hear the original, but almost every time it was just to kind of discover like how little attention they paid to it. I feel like that was almost always the takeaway. Sometimes I was impressed with what they did with it, but more often than not, I just wasn't that interesting. And, you know, I wanted to sort of read this quote in the remix as obliteration section of the Wire article. They quote an interview, where they're talking about the Skinny Puppy remix. You notice that kind of metal song on the Lexia compilation. And they basically say, Skinny Puppy, don't get me wrong, they've done some good tracks. But when we got the source material, we were like, what are we going to do with this? Those vocals, dot, dot, dot. and The Wire kind of suggests, like, it might be an act of vandalism, but it's a pretty cool sounding one. And I feel like that almost sums up a lot of these remixes, where I feel like they don't really care for it, they don't really like it, but they managed to come up with something like that they wanted to do, just regardless of what was going on in the original track. Listener Joe also wrote, looking at the rest of the 2010 remixes, it's interesting to point out that this was their last big year, and that as far as I can tell, the next time they put out remixes was in 2014 after XI. I wonder if this was because the process of creating the patches and processes to make XI, LSEC, and NTS ended up being pretty intensive. Listener Darren also noted that this list is mostly 90s stuff, but honestly, that's where the gold is for his personal list. And The Wired's primer article, as we discussed, similarly notes that the bulk of their recommendations come from the 90s, where, you know, they're because there was a remix fever at that time, which eventually died down. So, you know, maybe we already said it, but why do you think the remixes slowed down so much? And I guess more importantly, do you wish they'd do more remixing, or has that era kind of passed?
I think it's because the cash aspect of it, you know, kind of dwindled away. The 90s were big on, you know, there was first the single, like a cassette that only had, you know, one song and then some remixes. Of course, you know, there's the, you know, ubiquitous 12-inch, you know, dance remix and stuff, which doesn't seem to really get made too much nowadays outside of, you know, Record Store Day or something. And then, I mean, even in the 90s, you also had the CD single, which also would have, you know, the original album track and then, you know, four or five remixes on it. So like the 90s just were like this, I mean, obviously it was the biggest time for the music industry, or about to be the biggest time for the music industry. And it was just, there were so many ways to like sell you these things that, you know, I think everybody, like you said earlier, it was like this combination of like mutual clout seeking of, you know, you can get your name in front of, you know, these bigger time artists, fans, and then also the bigger artists can get, you know, a little bit of street cred or something. And you know, that just all sort of died down, I think. You know, once the single and the 12 inch and the, you know, CD single, you know, kind of went to the wayside. You know, it went back to being this sort of niche, you know, dance club sort of thing, you know, which it remains to this day. And I think, you know, I think even specifically why Autechre stopped is, you know, partly that. And then I think partly like once you become well enough established, they probably just didn't feel the need to have to do it, and probably just did it when they either wanted to, or, you know, were asked by somebody they respect, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's more evidence that they never really wanted to do this to begin with.
Yeah.
I kind of get the feeling that none of these like electronic greats of the 90s really wanted to be doing this, but they kind of had to. And it, yeah, it is a result of like the 90s were just crazy. Like how many records, I mean, like NSYNC would sell like 2 million records in the first day or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the 2000s, but yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it was, now the biggest for a year is like 130 or, you know, 200,000 records. People used to sell 2 million in a day.
I know. It's and nuts. Used to, I mean,
then fucking like, Napster came along.
Yeah, it ruined everything, but you know, yeah, you would release like these little EPs, these little bonuses, like just to resell these discs, and everybody would buy them. It was like crazy time, and I guess that's over, and again, I just don't think Autechre wants to do it. Now, lastly, you know, we talked about this enough, but I just want to read all the emails I put on here. Listener Tom wrote, listening to all the remixes at once for the first time in ages, they sounded somewhat more homogenous than I recalled, mostly falling into three different categories. The garbage-esque chill grooves, the ones that gradually layered harder beats, slower synth pads, and subtle melodies. I'm a sucker for these. And the bangers with little depth or development. That in itself might be more variety than some X-Manage, but midway through, I did start to feel like I need a palate cleanser. Still, there's enough great stuff here to make an excellent album, maybe even a double. I guess we both kind of agree already. We talked about this when we were talking about Lexier, that like as a whole, it's all a little bit samey. So, you know, the question is, should listeners just check out like these couple standouts, you know, that we talked about today and the others we'll talk about next time we talk about the listener favorites? Or is it important that Autechre fans seek out like the remix work as a whole as we did in preparing for this?
You know, I think I said this at the beginning, but you know, it as a whole, it is a little like it's too much. It becomes too samey. Like really, honestly, the first time like I listened to this, I was like, you know, I was pretty disappointed and not looking forward to having to spend, you know, 8 hours at a clip with it. But then, you know, as I was able to take things away, which is something I would never do when listening to just a regular record. You know, I would never not listen to part of NTS or something, you know, like if I didn't like it. But here, you know, it's not a real album. It's none of this stuff is supposed to be together. So it was okay to like sort of like, and I think that's the way to go about it. You know, if you're interested enough to be listening to this podcast, like, sure, if you want, you know, start with mine or your list, you know, or both of those together, like, you know, go for it. But I think like what is best to do with it is, you know, listen to it as a whole and just chip away at it, you know, save, write down the ones you like, you know, and maybe come up with 10, 15, 20, you know, and kind of make you a record out of it. Because I think there's definitely enough good stuff there that's worth doing.
Yeah. I think like, you know, I think we can close on this, but basically, our lists were not really close to the same at all.
Yeah.
None of our listeners' lists like resembled ours really at all, except for Tom, bless him. You know, feeling your taste there, Tom, but everybody else, it was like every list we got was like just completely different. And I think that's how it's got to be. It's like, if you want to get into the remixes, you're going to have to listen to all of them and you'll probably find your own favorite 10 and they probably won't look anything like anybody else's, you know, and it's just because the quality is all of like a pretty high level, but you will find some that you'll be glad you found.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a perfect place to end. So what do you think about our remix lists? Remember, we're going to do another episode on listener favorites that we didn't discuss today. So be sure to write us at gonkcastpod@gmail.com. Next topic coming shortly after that, Autechre's collaborations with the Hafler Trio. So we want your opinions, hot takes on those. gonkcastpod@gmail.com. If you like the show, help us out. Subscribe. Leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Look us up. YouTube. Stay connected. Twitter, Instagram. Those are @gonkcastpod. And we'll see you next time.
See ya. We'll